Welcome to the Blunt Report. So glad you could make it.
You gotta admit, that fucking laugh was dope as fuck. I even surprised myself. That's right. That's right. What is up, my people? It is I, Cannibal, the Cannabis Animal, back at it again with another edition of the fucking Blunt Report. That's right. What up, my cannibals? It is officially not Halloween, but Halloween month. We keep fucking doing spooky shit because we love this month. It's my favorite month of the whole year. Even growing up as a kid, man, Christmas was not it was cool, but fucking Halloween was the shit, man. Back in those days, getting candy was one of the biggest fucking things that you could do the whole year. I remember that shit. So today, finally, we are having our listener story. This is coming straight from Eureka, California, or the surrounding area. Excuse me, I don't want to say exactly because I don't even know the fucking location myself, for real. But before we get into all that, I want to just go ahead and give a shout out to our sponsor. They've been here since day one and keep holding it down. So this Blunt Report podcast is brought to you by Weed Smoker. Like this. Damn. Fuck. I'm still smoking on this. This OG cookies, and I pressed some rosin, so got some of that on top. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be fucking blitzed by the end of this segment. All right, today we're not going to have any paranormal news or anything of that nature, so we can have this podcast down to a minimum of at least an hour. So, without further ado, here is our very, very first listener story, and it is called Ghost in My Garden. Hello and good evening. I wanted to reach out to you about your listener stories and recount my encounter with the paranormal that started very mildly and is now getting to the point that I feel bothered by the events that are happening at my place of residence / work. I want to start out by saying I am a huge skeptic and I base my beliefs on facts. And little did I know that those beliefs would be rocked by the events that I'm about to tell. I ran into your podcast while searching cannabis content on Spotify. Coincidentally, I ran into yours. Now, I reside in a rural area of Northern California, close to the Emerald Triangle, which I'm sure you are familiar with. I run a private, legal cannabis grow near Eureka, California in Humboldt County. As you can imagine, this place is rural. It's a small operation compared to others around the Emerald Triangle. As you may have guessed it is an outdoor grow, and at night, your eyes tend to play tricks on you. But it really does not go farther than that. Every morning, two out of my five business colleagues and I myself wake up at the crack of dawn and start prepping for the day's work, which includes removing tarps from our greenhouses. We don't have fancy automatic mechanisms to roll up the tarps. We use good old muscle. We make sure that our plants are well watered. We also make our rounds to make sure that no one is messing around or trespassing on our property at night. That also includes wildlife. In the years that I have been here, all the weird noises and events that seem out of the ordinary can be explained by common sense things like wildlife and weather. About a couple months ago, I woke up to get ready to start the day, made my coffee, had some eggs with toast, and in the distance I could hear my two German shepherds barking at something. Being that they always did that, I didn't pay any mind. But what I did notice was that they were also barking the night before. I checked the cameras for any suspicious activity, but the night went on without incident. Now, I want to explain something about my property. It's somewhat of a family heirloom and has been passed down by my family. The only way in or out of our facility, officially, is one dirt road. The hikes up here would make even the most seasoned of hikers nervous, so it would be very difficult for us not to spot an intruder. So on this morning, I grab my coffee, and I make my way out the door, when all of a sudden, I hear someone in the distance faintly say, "Hey, stop!" My first thought was, some motherfucker actually had the balls to break into my facility. My first instinct was to chamber my Glock, and in the rush of things, I spill my coffee and break my favorite mug, which is a Yeti smoking a joint, by the way. Gun in hand, I start to run and look for anyone who is not supposed to be there. One by one, I go through all the greenhouses. Nothing. Not a peep. Which is very disturbing, because usually, wildlife can be heard all day on our property. But it was eerily quiet. As I make my way to the final greenhouse, I come around the corner, and just catch a glimpse of what I can only describe as a man with a long coat and very old-looking boots. He looked like a homeless person at first. It seemed like he was turning the corner, and as I just catch a glimpse of him, he vanished. All it took for whomever I was chasing was just mere seconds for them to turn the corner and vanish. I was beside myself. No one was to be found, no trace. Like a fucking Houdini act, he was gone. Moments later, my colleagues show up, shotguns in hand. They had seen me run like a bat out of hell, so they headed as quickly as they could to my location. The last greenhouse is located somewhat at the north side edge of the property. This is where we keep our line of exotic cannabis strains. So naturally, I was worried that someone may have done harm to our crops. But we also keep our storage room close to this greenhouse. It is where we keep all our fertilizers, nutrients, and things of that nature. The three of us made our way cautiously around the area of the supply room. There on the ground was an open powder fertilizer sack, spread all across the dirt. And in the middle of all the fertilizer were boot prints. It was very odd though. These boot prints seemed to lead back to the supply room, but no footprints that trailed off in any other direction. An eerie feeling came over me, as if I was being watched. I can only compare this feeling to when I was a kid, afraid of the dark, or after watching a scary movie. The fact that our location was eerily quiet was of no help either. Both of my colleagues, we will call them Jack and Tom, noticed the odd silence in the air. "We heard you scream. Hey, stop." "We ran over here as quickly as we could," Tom said. "Do you hear that?" Jack asked. "No," Tom replied. "Exactly. It's too fucking quiet," Tom mumbled under his breath. We began to clean the sack that was open, and at the same time, looking for clues as to why somebody would break into our facility, not chop down or take any of the flowering cannabis or cannabis that was drying in our rooms. As I was thinking and working, I did not notice that the ambient noise of nature and other things had come back. It felt like when your ears pop after a long while of cold. Just like that. And that made all of this even more difficult to comprehend. No one can vanish into thin air. That is just not physically possible. We have had a few possible Sasquatch sightings happen, but nothing of this caliber. Back at the storage room, which is not even a room. It's a small, two-bedroom house that was modified to be a storage facility. Nothing seemed out of place, at first. Upon looking over the whole house in the room, there were powdered fertilizers stored, were handprints on an old couch that sits opposite of the fertilizer, as well as handprints on the hallway walls that lead to the same room. It was not so much that I was mad, I was just severely confused. Working as an armed private security guard, it was very difficult for me to be scared or startled. But today, a deep feeling of concern started to grow in the pit of my stomach. I brushed it off, thinking I was being irrational and carrying on with the task at hand. The workday was very short. Watering of the plants is automatic, and no nutrients were to be given on this day. Around the afternoon time, we gathered in our meeting room and sparked the joint of Skywalker OG, to ease the tension a bit while we waited for the rest of our colleagues to arrive. We called a last-minute meeting where we'd look at the footage of the events of the day. The video left us with more questions than answers and a what-the-fuck expression on our faces. At the location where all of this happened, there is a camera blind spot where the greenhouse and the supply house are located that are barely visible. This has been a huge concern of mine for some time now, but did not think that anybody would ever try to break into this facility, given its location, but it was never outside of the realm of possibility. Everyone had finally come in. Jack, Tom, Dom, Mike, and myself sat at a long corporate table. As I started playing the tapes, you could see all 18 cameras that were up around the perimeter of the property. All the cameras were up except camera 13. I know. What a coincidence, right? The incident with my dogs barking the night before started to make more sense as I kept thinking about it. When I checked the camera the evening before, nothing seemed to be out of place. That was around 11:45 a.m. We started viewing the footage from the night before. Everything seemed to be in order, but around 2:45 a.m, both of my dogs come into view and seemed to be barking at something that was physically not there. This happened up until 3:15 a.m, where you can start to observe the camera at the blind spot, start to get static image, and malfunction. At the time, the camera went completely fuzzy, and you can see both my dogs running back to the main house, like something spooked them really bad. My dogs have faced wildlife and never been intimidated by it, even when we had our supposed Sasquatch sightings, which I will recount to you another time. We spent at least 3 hours viewing footage, not a single clue of who or what came onto our property. But, just as we were all calling it quits, I started to see something, like a silhouette, going into the tree line. It was barely visible on camera 8. That's the camera with the most visual access to the whole property, at a glance. My business partners and myself were at a loss for words. Camera 13 was still malfunctioning, so we called our security guy for an emergency repair. Being that we are active in the community, we are in very good standing with our local businesses, so our guy did not hesitate to come and do the job right away. It was getting near sundown, so we started putting the tarps up to put our babies to sleep. I won't say how many greenhouses are on location, but 5 of us is enough to finish closing in 1 hour to 1 hour and 30 minutes. It was Mike and I this time who were covering the last 2 houses. We were headed to the last house when I suddenly got the urge to use the restroom. "Dude, I have to take a major piss. I'll be back," I told Mike. "Hurry up, this shit is heavy," Mike replied, annoyed. Which really struck me as odd, as I have never heard him complain once, not once since he's been working here. I thought to myself, "Holy shit, Mike's scared," as I laughed out loud, relieving myself at the closest bush I could find. Thinking that Mike could wait a little longer, I took out a pre-rolled joint of gelato and started toking. Yes, I realize that is disgusting, but I roughed it. Plus, I was not going to share the joint with anybody anyway. Making my way back, I could hear Mike almost shout, "Oh, fuck!" I ran as quickly as I could back to where Mike was. As I turned the corner, Mike was standing, frozen, pale as a ghost. In front of him were dirty handprints from where we were standing to midways on the plastic that covers the house. If any of you have seen a greenhouse, you'll know what I'm talking about. "Where the fuck were you, Danny?" Mike's voice quivered. Mike was clearly disturbed by what he had seen. I myself had not seen Mike so scared and so pissed off in the 6 whole years that he's been working with me. As he was saying this, something on his chest reflected and caught my eye. Small medallion with strange symbols, an amulet of some sorts, I assumed. In total, I was only gone for about 6 minutes, but for Mike, it felt like an eternity. Another thing that really caught my attention was that it looked like Mike was not getting any sleep. He had bags under his eyes, and now that I mentioned it, it seemed like he was kind of irritable. He had just taken a week's vacation and visited his parents and grandpa. You would think that would have been good rest, but it seemed quite the opposite for my childhood friend. My phone started to ring. It was Jack asking if he wanted to grab some dinner. I told Jack to grab everyone and meet us at our location. Mike was seriously spooked. So I made my way into the house with a Glock in hand. Turned on the lights, and did not see anything out of place, until I came to the location where the handprints started. It seemed that someone grabbed soil from one of our plants, and used it to make the handprints that you can see from the outside. The same exact handprints that were on the walls of the supply house, are the same ones here. Guess where all this happened? The last grow house. All the crew got there and I showed them what I had found. Searched around the area for anything suspicious, closed the house, and covered it. Cannabis light cycles, when not correct, can affect the plant drastically, so we did a quick sweep of the place and we were in and out. We all made our way back to the main house, where we were informed by our security guy that we would be needing a new camera and would not be able to get one till next day. Jack was giving Mike a hard time on how shitty he looked. He looked like he'd not gotten any sleep in a while. He also mentioned to him that he never pictured him as a religious guy. Mike started to tell about how he had not been able to sleep since his last stop at his grandmother's house. Now that he was a bit calm, we asked Mike what happened, and this is what he said. I was waiting outside for Danny to come back from taking a piss, so I started to put the tarp in place. That way it would be easier for us to pull it over. All of a sudden, out of thin fucking air, I see these two dirty handprints start to appear, one by one, across the middle to where it stopped. When it first started, I could faintly see out a person, like average height, kind of looked like a man. Danny was gone for about 5 fucking minutes, and all this happened while he was gone. Right before the handprints started, I could swore I heard somebody say my name close to my ear. Recounting his story, he looked deeply upset. It's very hard to retell a story word for word, but these are the most important details. Mike started to say how he could not shake the feeling that this was all his fault. All this was happening because of him. We weren't aware of all the things that Mike had gone through at his grandmother's place. But no longer being able to hold it inside, he started telling us exactly what happened. Now, you won't be able to tell, but Mike is Mexican-American on his mother's side. His grandmother was a native of Ensenada and also had a house there. Mike grew kind of distant from his grandfather after his grandmother's passing. I had heard him mention before that he feels guilty about not visiting his grandfather more often, had not been back since his grandmother's funeral 6 months ago. He stayed at his grandmother's house for about 2 days. He mentioned to us that when he stepped into the house, the air felt different. It felt heavy and full of sadness. His grandfather looked different. He had huge bags under his eyes and looked like he lost a lot of weight. Mike was prepared for this. He didn't expect his grandfather to get over his grandmother's death in 6 months. There were always these rumors running around in the area that his grandmother was a healer, a spiritual worker of some sort. When she was alive, he did notice that a lot of people from town would come visit his grandmother, seeking spiritual help while he was growing up. She would always take consultations free of charge, in a small makeshift house with 2 rooms at the back of the property. Mike was never allowed in that house and was always told it was off limits. As far back as he can remember, every time he would visit his grandmother, the local kids would always tease him and tell him he had a witch for a grandmother. He would always get into fist fights, often as a kid. He had always been curious about his grandmother and what she would do in these spiritual consultations. In all the time that he had stayed there as a kid, he never experienced anything like what he experienced at the greenhouse. While he was at his grandpa's, they would have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and would play cards and dominoes and try to get as much conversation in as he could. The first day he was there, curiosity finally got the best of him, and asked for permission for his grandpa to look around his grandma's consultation house. Papa Leno, as he called him, was a bit hesitant, but being that his Mama Cruz, as he would love to call his grandma, would no longer be there, they gave him the okay. Keep in mind that all this time he was there, he couldn't shake the eerie feeling in the air. He was a bit nervous, but he decided to go in. The first thing that he saw as he came in was a big picture frame of Jesus Christ, as well as a lot of statues of saints. Everything looked untouched, left the same way his grandmother did. There was not a lot of furniture, just a few chairs and a small waiting area, a small kitchen, and 2 small rooms. One of the 2 rooms had a big circle in the middle, as well as a small bed and some old herbs and a small table. It was very basic and very old. The second room is where things got interesting. The second room was the largest of the two. It was a lot darker and for some reason, a lot colder. Colder than any other spot in this home. The weather was not at its hottest, but it was not cold enough for it to be as cold as that room was. It had black and red candles that were halfway used, a huge statue of what he described as the Holy Death. On the wooden floor, there were weird symbols and a language that he could not understand, followed by a triangle with a circle inside of it, and more symbols. As Mike made his way around the entire room, he noticed that the whole house and all the ambient noise came to a screeching halt, almost deafening, as he put it. This is the same exact feeling and sensation that came over me when I was chasing whatever it was that day at the greenhouse.
Yuka!
A deep whisper rang through his ear and actually made him jump some distance from where he was at to the middle of the room. The floor made a hollow thump sound, so he began tapping the floor with his foot. He was thinking that thumping noise could have been just old wood flooring, or it meant that something was down there underneath. Already spooked, he was hesitant on looking, but he decided to suck it up and removed the loose floorboard. Underneath the floor was a large wooden box. He took it out and opened it to reveal several odd items. Bundles of fabric with different black ribbons tied to them. He opened one of the bundles, and what he found was a bunch of human teeth. Mike put it back, was no longer curious about the rest, and took out the smaller box. There was an old and what seemed to be vintage Ouija board, with a planchette that looked like it was made of bone, also with strange symbols. At this point, Mike had mentioned that he was officially starting to get spooked, even though, just like myself, he did not believe in the paranormal. Everything was put back in its place as his grandma had left it, and by now, it was time to go. As he made his way out the door, his eye caught something. Something reflective on a statue of St. Jude. It was the golden medallion that his Mama Cruz would always wear. More symbols and strange writing on it. Mike didn't have anything of his grandma's to remember by, so he decided to take it. On the last day he was there, he saw his grandpa off as he was being picked up by his brother. They were headed into town and would not be back until really late. He had about 5 hours until he had to be at the airport to check in, so he decided to visit his grandma's neighbor, who had pretty decent weed for a reasonable price. He bought an eighth to toke up before the flight. This neighbor had a very liberal family, so there was no problems when they rolled up and smoked in the backyard. They were reminiscing about old times when they wouldn't hang out as kids and get into trouble. In the middle of the conversation, the neighbor's grandmother came out to greet Mike. They two also talked about old times, but all this time, Mike noticed she was giving him a peculiar look. She noticed that he was wearing his grandmother's amulet and asked concerningly if he was aware of what he was wearing. Naturally, he had no response, so she went on to say that every time that Mama Cruz would perform any of her services, she would wear that amulet. Also, she continued telling him that it may not be a good idea to wear it, due to the fact that it was used in white as well as dark rituals and could have repercussions to the uninitiated. Mike respectfully nodded and told her that he would leave the amulet alone, but of course, it was a lie, and she kind of knew it. Back at the house, it was almost time for Mike to gather his things, have a few joints before the flight, eat some food, not in that order of course, and be out the door. Finally, the time had come for him to leave, and was finishing his last joint. He grabbed his luggage and was making his way out the door when he noticed that eerie silence had come back out of nowhere. Suddenly, he heard his grandma say,
"Miguelito! Adios, Miguelito!"
Mike said that he could feel the color actually being drained from his face. It was obvious where the voice was coming from. He turned in that direction. He could see a shadow of what seemed to be a silhouette of his grandmother waving. His heart began to pound out of his chest. For a moment, he thought the weed he had smoked could have been laced with something else. That could be the only explanation for this happening. Again, he heard,
"Miguelito! Adios, Miguelito!"
this time in a deeper, distorted, almost cliche demonic voice. At that instant, Mike ran out the door, almost falling over his luggage, and running as fast as he could from that house, not even sure that he had even closed the door. Fumbling for his phone, and needless to say scared shitless, Mike called an Uber, made his way to the airport, and boarded his flight, still wearing his grandma's amulet and still shook about what happened. The first night Mike was back, he mentioned that he had woken up several times in the middle of the night by what sounded like people praying the rosary, but it did not sound like English or Spanish. Also, he had mentioned that on the same night, he could faintly hear somebody whispering his name in Spanish, just like his Mama Cruz did when he was a kid. Here's some food for thought. I did some research on our location, and I was able to find out that Eureka, California was an early gold mining settlement, and people would go in search of riches and sometimes find death. There's a lot of history here. And where there's money to be made, there's always someone trying to take that money. And I know there has to be stories of people's claims being jumped and possibly killed for. The activity in the area did get more frequent. We hear footsteps in the hallways often. Our colleague Tom saw an older woman standing in the hallway of the storage house, right where the handprints had been. The most notable event is while we were all trimming our dried cannabis. We were sitting on two tables, gathering scissors, ISO alcohol, and all the equipment necessary for an efficient manicure. Right around the same hallway, we all heard a voice say,
"Lito, adios, Miguelito."
It sounded eerily sweet, but distorted. Needless to say, we have all had experienced something spooky around here. I myself am no longer skeptical that there are things beyond our realm of understanding that go bump in the night. Neither of my colleagues are skeptical. Fast forward through all this pandemic to a few months back, things are no longer spooky around here. Mike decided to take back his grandmother's amulet, but just last night I could hear footsteps again. That's my story. It has been 2 weeks after the last incident, and all has been quiet. Recently, I had our local priest bless the area. Mike looks better and higher than ever. Everything has been back to normal. Well, except for a couple of Sasquatch sightings, which I will definitely tell you about the next time. Thank you for your time. Keep doing what you're doing. I love the podcast. Until next time. What up, what up? That's right. That was our first fucking listener story, and let's fucking talk about this shit. When I was reading this shit, man, this was all too familiar to me. Why? Because I've been through a lot of this shit myself, and I can relate to all this bullshit that's happening. I do call it bullshit, not that it's a lie, but it's just fucking bullshit, man. That shit rocks your fucking world. Trust on that shit, for real. So, I really, really want to thank Mr. Anonymous that, you know, brought upon this listener story. Really, your fucking details, man, were on point. I really hope that nothing else is happening in your home. I really hope that all that blessing from the priest or your local religious man, clergyman, whatever the heck it's called, I really hope that it did do the trick and there's no other, you know, paranormal activity going on. So let's fucking talk about this shit. Let's talk about this shit. Ghost in my garden. All right. So every listener story that I'll get, because I fucking know I'm going to get more, I will discuss in a very constructive way. I'm not going to knock anything that you guys sent me, because these are your experiences. So I'm not going to go ahead and what I'm going to do is just be constructive about it and just take it as it is and take it as truth. So here we go. All right. I thought it was fucking badass that this anonymous person had the, I guess, the balls to just go ahead and reach out to me and let me know, hey, man, this is going on. Coincidentally, he has a legal grow operation near Eureka, California, as he stated in the story. That's pretty badass. So thank you for that. All right. I know about being a skeptic. I know exactly what that means to a person. If you don't fucking show me proof right then and there, in my fucking hands, right here, I don't believe for shit. I know so many people that are like that. Of course, I get it, shit. If you don't, it's like, fucking show me the money, and I'll see if it's true or not. Perfectly fine. For a story to actually change your mind and your beliefs, that's got to be extreme. I mean, fuck. Literally, I'm pretty sure this guy was mind fucked, like 6 weeks from Sunday and shit. Now, I know what it is to have somebody break into your house. Well, not my house, of course. But I believe it was, I think, one or two times that I assisted, you know, my local growers. Of course, not my local growers, but our local growers. And I believe that I was staying there just to fuck around, just to get a feel for it. Just, you know, it was my first, I think, couple times being around. It was pretty cool. So, for some reason, we decided to camp out, right? And we're just chilling there. And mind you, this is not fucking, like, super rural where it's like, you know, there's nobody around. I mean, there's, like, neighbors and shit. But there was neighbors that have their own lots and things of that nature. So, the neighbors weren't too close for comfort where, you know, they're trying to peek in and shit. And this is before they had greenhouses at the location. It was just, you know, open air. So I'm chilling with there, my homie. And his pops is like, yo, fucking run to the front of the house. This motherfucker has somebody with a somebody at shotgun point. This motherfucker tried to break into the house to the spot. So I'm a little heavier than I was before, like probably like 7 years ago, 6 years ago. And I fucking booked. I mean, I fucking hauled ass, man. Call me the Flash, eh? Straight the fuck up. So I go, and my boy has this motherfucking kid, man. Fucking 15-year-old kid at fucking point-blank shotgun. And he's like, man, what the fuck? Now, he did have his finger off the trigger, but he had it resting. So this is motherfucking, because you never know who the fuck goes into your house. Nowadays, any fucking kid can carry a gun if he has the balls to do it. And try to do some damage. So I think my boy showed extreme, you know, restraint, which is good, especially when you own a gun. So normally I was pissed. So fucking grab the kid, bring him into the lot, and tell him, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, really? And it was two motherfuckers, as a matter of fact. So they brought another motherfucker down. Because he was at the spot. The other motherfucker left his homie behind. And went out trying to go out the front. Or the wall next to the front door. So, whatever. Well, the only thing that is separating these lots are walls. So, bring him in. Tell him, man, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Man, are you fucking serious? You're breaking into somebody's house. Do you know that I could fucking shoot you in the fucking face? And not only that, my boy has kids in his fucking house, man. He doesn't have his butt in the house, but, he, you know, there's a house and there's a fucking lot far off from the house. And, I mean, the balls of this fucking kid, man. If it would have been anybody else, I think they probably would have fucking smoked that kid. No questions asked. So, I got to asking this kid, man, who the fuck sent you? Who the fuck sent you? How the fuck do you know about this? And how the fuck do you get the balls to come in here? So I guess this kid had heard around the area that they were growing some bud there. How the fuck they knew? I don't know. Because my homies are not the type to be like, hey man, I got some bud over here, check this shit out. Nah, so it was fucking weird. All that shit happened. We told him, like, look, man, I need your ID. Like, what? I'm not gonna ask you again. I need your ID. Took the fucking kid's ID. That was it. So we made sure this motherfucker got off the lot. Motherfucker was parked. And this motherfucker had the audacity of his, the audacity, the fucking balls to bring his little sister. That was like 7 or 8. He left her in the fucking car to try to go steal some bud. I was fucking beside myself angry. I was so fucking mad. I wanted to clock that kid right then and there, but I wasn't going to do it because sister's right there. We told him, look, dude, spread it around town. Spread it around whoever the fuck told you that you had a fucking gun pointed to your face and we took your fucking ID. So, pre-warn everybody around there that if they step into the lot again, if they try to step into the lot, it's going to be different. Man, that kid almost pissed his pants. So I know how it is to come to, for somebody to come into somebody's home or your homie's home and try to fucking get, you know, try to fucking bust a lick on that shit. No, fuck that. So I know exactly how this homie feels. Let's get back to into that shit. All right. So he lives in Eureka, California. Humboldt, right? Emerald Triangle. There's a lot of people growing bud there. It's pretty much the capital of weed and shit in the United States. Tell me if I'm fucking wrong. The best fucking weed comes from California. No questions asked. No fucking argument. Nothing. So why do I fucking know that? Because I've tried weed from out of states or different states and they don't fucking compare. Even the Schnickel Fritz, even the fucking shaky shit is good out here. So, yeah. Of course, this guy does a routine every day. He preps every day. He has 5 business partners. So him and 2 other business partners wake up at the crack of dawn and shit and do the thing. All that bullshit. it's a daily occurrence, man. When you have an outdoor grow and it's a greenhouse, you kind of have to, you know, put your tarps up over your greenhouses at the same time. You don't want to shock your plants, so I get that shit. Some days are more rough than others, just like this gentleman mentioned in the story. So, I want to go ahead and just talk about this shit. Now, I mean, no offense to you, homie, straight up, but it's those times where you know, just think, gosh, that shit will never happen. That shit will never happen. And there's an issue with a camera like this story. It's those times where, fuck, you don't want to second guess yourself. Even if you don't want to fucking do it, you got to make sure everything is on point, you know? I get that shit. So, in the story, there was a blind spot. The blind spot. Now, I mean, I get it probably because you don't think anybody's going to break in. But if it's a big enough area where it's going to have like 16, 17 fucking cameras, holy shit, man. I mean, fuck. That's big enough to be like, okay, cover all the areas and shit. Which, of course, do your thing. I get it. You know, we all worked differently and shit because you're not expecting anybody to break in because it's rural. But nowadays, you don't fucking know. You don't fucking know. And the crazy thing about it is I know there's got to be people in the wilderness, in the forest and shit living out there homeless. You never know. Also, I didn't know that around these areas, around the Humboldt County area, all that shit in Eureka, there's a lot of people that have gone missing. So, that's fucking food for thought. You never know. Also, this guy said that there was fucking Bigfoot sightings. Unofficial, official. Ish. And hopefully he'll fucking let us know about that in the next story. Hopefully. Now, he's mentioning also that would be very difficult for hikers to go up there and just fucking trawl all around and shit and hike and all that bullshit. Also, he mentions that this facility is a somewhat of a family heirloom. They passed it on to him. So there's only, and also around this area, there's only 1 dirt road that leads in or out of this facility or this house or this area. So it's kind of difficult because you think, okay, is anybody really going to break into this shit? When weed is involved, when money is involved, people would fucking go to great lengths to fucking rob your ass. Sometimes. So, anyway, this guy has a routine. He has breakfast every day, his coffee,
Shit, let me fucking sip my coffee too, fuck.
Breakfast, O champs. He sips his coffee. On this day, the guy just chills, walks out the door. All of a sudden, he hears somebody say, "Hey, stop." The guy drops his coffee and he breaks his fucking mug. Not only did he break his mug, but he broke his fucking Yeti smoking a joint mug. And so the homie drops that shit, takes out his fucking Glock, cocks that motherfucker, and runs after whoever he fucking, you know, he thinks is there. So he doesn't, and if you could maybe update us, you didn't really specify on who said, "Hey, stop." But here's the thing is that you heard it, your friends heard you say it, but you didn't say it, you heard somebody else say it. Food for thought. And I get it. I mean, you don't, well, maybe some people like that shit, but I'm not a violent person. But if need be, I will defend myself at any cost. If my life is in danger and I see that is fucking, it's a do or die, it ain't gonna be me, homie. Trust. I don't give a fuck. I'll do whatever it takes to fucking defend my life and the life of my loved ones. So naturally, he goes for the gun and shit, starts running, all this bullshit, right? Homie chases after this motherfucker and just catches, like, him just turning the corner, or it, or whoever the fuck it was, right? He turns the corner himself and there's fucking nobody there. First off, right there, that's a fucking huge flag. Now, mind you, this person, or Danny, still skeptical during all this fucking happenings. I mean, I think a skeptical person probably would have a really fucked up time trying to figure out exactly what caused the events of that day, or any paranormal event for that matter. So, let me fucking take a hit. Yeah, boy. So this is, yeah. I mean, this is fucking nuts, man. Because if I see somebody break into my shit, that's it. No, I can't even imagine the rush, the fucking adrenaline. You're like, fuck, man, I don't know what this motherfucker is going to do, but I'm going to go and fucking smack the shit out of this bitch. So he finally turns the corner. Nobody fucking there. Just a fucking peering act like Houdini and shit. His homies show up with fucking shotguns in hand. Nothing. Nada. So this guy was running towards the north side of his property. Not only that, that's where he keeps his exotic strains. So I don't know exactly how much you guys know about Bud, if you guys listen to this shit. But we all know about exotics, you know, all the cookie strains and all the Jungle Boys and all the fruity flavors that's the fruity smells or fruity cannabis. Those are more of the exotics. The OGs and all that stuff, those are, you know, not basic, but they're common before all the exotic bullshit. So now exotics, I believe, are sometimes watered down because they cross them so much that you just fucking lose the original strain. It's still good weed. It's still good weed, but it's still not the same thing. It's not really to the original strain. Now, of course, yeah, all your weed is important, but if you have extra sensitive weed or exotic weed that you're growing that requires a little bit more of attention, and of course is more expensive, yeah, you're gonna fucking be like, "This motherfucker's gonna go for the really good shit, that heady top shelf shit, the head stash, whatever the fuck you want to call that shit." So yeah, so he gets there. There's nobody there. There is fucking mess on the floor. There's a powdered fertilizer everywhere. And of course, he goes to a storage room. There's a fucking mess in there too. There's handprints all over the fucking hall walls and shit. So nothing else is out of place. But I mean, come on. So I'm thinking, this is my thought. If I'm a skeptic, I'm thinking, how the fuck can anybody do all this shit in a matter of minutes? Or seconds, for that matter. So I'm chasing the motherfucker down. I see the motherfucker turn. How the fuck did he open up a sack of powdered fertilizer? Now, if it's the kind of sack of fertilizer that I'm thinking about, then the fuck, that shit's heavy. So, I mean, it doesn't take two people to carry one, but it's fucking heavy. So, that's fucking food for thought right there. That's fucking crazy. So, all that shit happens, right? So now this, at this point, I'll be thinking, man, what the fuck's going on? This is turning into some fucking shit show, right? Cool. Awesome. So they fucking, I guess on this day, it was a very, very small work day. There's nothing, right? They just cleaned up the fucking mess and finished the day, and that was it. But this is the crazy fucking part about this. Now, I don't know if a lot of you have heard of Bigfoot stories, you know, blah, 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 all that shit, right? Or things where it's paranormal or fucking just out of the ordinary that's never happened to you. All of a sudden, there's no fucking sound, no ambient noise. It's like if everything went deaf. So this is what Danny experienced. Like that odd, awkward, fucking weird silence. Like that. So his homies get their shotgun in hand. They're asking each other, wait, you know, we heard you. They're talking to each other, telling each other that, yeah, I heard you from far away say, hey, stop. As they're there, all of them notice the fucking ambient noise. All of them. So that's some shit right there, honestly. So if you're ever in a forest area, ever in an area where all of a sudden it just goes dead silent, I'd be very aware of that. Very, very aware. So many stories about Bigfoot and weird shit happening in the woods and nature and all that bullshit start off like that. So be careful on that, my boy, for real. All right, so all that shit happens. Homie calls a meeting with everybody so they can fucking check out the cameras, see what the fuck happened. So these motherfuckers were looking at the cameras, all this bullshit. They started from the footage of the night before when the dogs were barking. So the night before, I guess his dogs were barking. He checked out the cameras. Nothing was out of place. All right, so they're checking out the footage. It's going. I guess footage was really fucking normal. About 2:45 a.m., his dogs come into view, and it looks like they start barking at something that's not there, just in thin air and shit. I guess they kept doing this until 3:15. At 3:15 a.m., the cameras start to get fuzzy, start to get static, and then they just fucking stop, right? Completely fuzzed out, malfunctioned. So he's talking about that his dogs, around 3:15, just pretty much bounce, take off from that spot, like if they're fucking scared or something fucking scared the shit out of them. And he's talking about his dogs are not really that kind of dog that gets scared easily, especially with the quote-unquote Bigfoot sightings that they had. So, and it's funny because the camera that was fucked up was camera number 13. Malfunctioning, so that was fucking crazy, right? All right. So, everything happens, blah, blah, blah. They go over and over that fucking footage. They don't see anybody. But the homie Danny, on another camera, slightly just sees something go in the bushes. You know how if you just turn, you just barely take a glimpse of somebody just going in the bushes or something? That's what he saw. They kept reviewing the footage over and over again, and he was just like, what the fuck? So, yeah, I mean, fuck. I can see how they could fucking throw you off, right? So they called his security guy that does, you know, security system, all that bullshit, right? Call him, all his bullshit. He lets him know, hey, you got to get a new camera. It's not going to happen until tomorrow. So while this is happening, it's still daylight. And I guess the five of them start to close the tarps. They close the tarps from all the greenhouses getting the sun down. So I guess it's Danny and his friend Mike that, you know, start doing the thing. And they come to the last greenhouse on the north side, which is the one that has all the exotics in there, right? So they're doing their thing. They're getting up there. And I guess Danny has the urge to take a piss. So he tells him, hey, man, I'll be back. And I guess he starts noticing that his friend, Mike, is kind of tensed up, you know, annoyed. And the weird thing about it is that he didn't really act like, he's never acted like that in all the time that he's been working there. And mind you, this is Danny's childhood friend, so whatever. So, motherfucker goes, and when I say motherfucker, I don't fucking say fuck you, motherfucker. I just say motherfucker, like, you know, like if I know you and shit, you know. So, motherfucker goes, takes a piss, right? And decides, after taking a piss, spark up a joint. Take even longer. So he starts to fucking make his way back, and he can hear his friend pretty much scream out, oh, fuck. Right, so he jams over there. And as he turns the corner, his friend is just literally fucking standing there frozen, pale as a fucking, as a ghost, right? And in front of him are these dirty handprints that started from the, I guess, from where the end he was at until towards the middle of the house. So if any of you have seen a greenhouse, you know what I'm talking about. And I guess he got kind of pissy at him, and he sounded kind of scared, very disturbed. So I guess he goes in there, Glock in hand, checks it out. He goes, I guess, towards where they were standing. And he sees that there's a plant that had the dirt dug up. So they use that dirt to make the handprints all across the plastic of the greenhouse. So they call everybody up. They meet him there. They check everything out, you know, quickly because it is sundown and those fucking plants need to go to sleep. Nothing out of place. So I guess they go back to the house, and this is where it gets trippy. This is where it gets trippy. So they go there, discuss that shit, and I guess all the homies are noticing that Mike looks like shit, man. I mean, he has not slept. It looks like he hadn't slept in fucking days, weeks. And you would think he would be cool because he just come back from a week's vacation. Now, the story goes that he went to visit his parents and his grandparents. So all this shit starts to happen. And this is where it gets crazy. Mike kind of just pretty much not blows up, but he just confesses shit that happened. So it mentions in the story also that Mike's grandmother had passed away 6 months before all this happened. And he had not visited his grandpa in a while. So, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, I guess I get it. I never had a grandpa before, so wouldn't know exactly. So I guess he started growing distant from his grandpa and all that shit. I mean, fuck, shit happens. What are you going to do? I guess when he got to his grandpa's house, he had lost a lot of weight, had bags under his eyes, things of that nature. We all know that shit, unfortunately. We all know that how death affects a family member and the rest of us. So, yeah, man. So I'm pretty sure, you know, he got there. He was hyped and shit. But the shit that happened at that house were fucking second to none. So, just a background story. I guess Mike's grandmother was known to be a healer around those parts of where she used to live. And in that house, she had a house that, I guess, was a little small back house, makeshift house that was built unofficially, of course. And he was never allowed in this house ever since, you know, he was small. So, I guess curiosity got the best of him this time and was able to go into the room. Or the house. So she would do consultations, spiritual healings, things like that. So let's talk about what the fuck happened when it went in there, but let's take a fucking Fuck. Damn, that was a fucking big fucking hit. Yeah. All right. So he goes in there. The first thing he finds is a big, huge picture frame thing of Jesus Christ and a bunch of saints all around. Small room, bigger room. The small room had, like, I guess, a couple of old herbs, a bed. This house had a little waiting area with a couple chairs in there too as well. And fucking, he goes into the second bedroom. And it's a lot darker. has black and red candles, and a statue of the Holy Death. What do you guys know about that? Look up Holy Death and shit, or Santa Muerte, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So he goes in there, and on the floor, he sees a couple symbols. He sees a triangle with a circle inside of it and a bunch of different writings, weird language that he doesn't understand, of course. Now, the other smaller room had a circle with other words in there, but it this room was a lot, you know, had light coming in, all that shit. It didn't look as eerie as this room. Now, what he describes is that there is this sudden silence, just like Danny had experienced at the greenhouse, just the same way. So, old boy starts fucking poking around and shit, right? And I guess he hears what sounds like somebody whispering his name, but like a loud whisper, like, Miguelito. Like that. So, homie fucking jumps up like crazy and shit. And I guess he doesn't realize that he jumps from one space to the next, that he jumps onto a floor that's loose or sounds hollow. So, old boy decides to take up the floorboards, and what does he fucking find? A big old motherfucking wooden box with a bunch of weird shit in it. Now, if history has taught us any fucking thing, or any fucking horror movies for that matter, we don't fuck with shit that has been put away and looks like some ritualistic shit. We don't fuck with that shit. Naturally, right? Naturally. So in this box, he finds a bunch of shit. Weird trinket looking things, a bunch of pouches with different color pouches with black ribbons on them. Now, I've never heard of this before, but fucking who knows? I mean, I don't fucking know exactly everything about witchcraft. And everybody has their own fucking rituals and shit, right? Fuck, I guess. So, in one of these fucking pouches that he got curious in opening, old boy found fucking teeth in that fucking pouch. Goddamn fucking teeth, yo. Straight up. That's a fucking big fuck no. I'm sorry. Fuck that shit, yo. His grandma was probably an awesome person, but holy fuck. What was she into? And I think I may have a clue of what she was into, but I'll explain it a little bit later and shit. So, he put that shit back. He wasn't even curious to go into the other pouches. And inside that large wooden box was also another smaller wooden box. Took it out. Opened it, and lo and behold, it was a vintage or old-looking Ouija board, right? Cliche as fuck, right? But I'm not going to knock anything, because that's how usually shit happens, the cliche way and shit. So, this shit was old as fuck, and I guess, if you guys aren't familiar, the planchette, or that squared-looking thing that everybody puts their hands on, well, I guess Mike was saying that it was... It looked like it was may have been made of bone. So that right there is a fucking red flag. Of course, by this time, homie is fucking kind of scared. He puts everything away. Starts fucking... starts heading out. And before he heads out, he could see something that's like shining in the sun. He goes and he sees that there's like this medallion necklace kind of looking thing. With the strange symbols and all that bullshit. So, since he did not have anything of his grandma's, he fucking decided, well, I'm gonna swipe this motherfucker. So, all that shit happened. And I guess the second day he was there, he, I guess, spent the day with his grandpa and all that shit. His grandpa left early with his brother, according to the story. I guess they were going to go into the town and do some shit. They're gonna be back later, and his flight left earlier. So, homeboy decides to go next door, you know, catch a session shit from the neighbor. And mind you, this guy grew up in this area. He didn't live here, but he came here to his grandma's often. So, he kind of grew up here. So, he knew the surrounding neighbors. And the neighbor, I guess, according to him, had good bud at a good price. So, he went over there, yada, 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 started shooting the shit. I guess the neighbor... His grandmother came out and greeted, you know, Mike and all that stuff. And they got to talking about old times. And The story says that the grandma was giving him like a weird look. So finally she asked about the medallion and she noticed that he was wearing it. And she asked him, well, do you know what you're wearing? And he's like, well, honestly, I don't. It's just my grandma's, you know, don't have shit of hers, whatever. She's like, yeah, well, your grandma used to use that in dark and non-dark rituals and shit. So it may be, be careful because it, you know, may be an issue for the uninitiated. That didn't make sense to me until I did a little more research. So this is fucking crazy. All right. So homeboy's like, okay, well, you know what? She asked Mike to put it back if it was a possibility. She knew deep down that he wasn't going to do it. Okay, you know, fuck it, whatever. So I guess, all right. So, oh boy, they token shit. Oh boy gets it back. Rolls a couple more joints before and eats and then fucking smokes before, you know, he's going to take off. So here's a fucking kicker. As homie's getting his stuff, all that shit, and is finishing his last joint ready to go. As he's picking up his shit, he could hear somebody say, Miguelito. And he knew right away where the fuck it's coming from. And as he described it, fucking his face just lost all the fucking color. Like that. So he knew where it's coming from. He didn't fucking want to turn. As soon as the motherfucker turns, he could see the house from there. And he could see a fucking shadow of what looks like to be his grandma fucking waving. And she says the same exact thing. She goes, Miguelito. Adios, Miguelito. But she said it, supposedly she said it in a distorted, fucked up way. It sounded sweet, but it sounded distorted. So naturally, homeboy just fucking bounces, gets the fuck out of there. Deuces out. He doesn't even fucking remember closing the door. So he didn't get much sleep the first 2 days. Obviously, I don't think I would have either. So fast forward to him getting back to the spot, to the grow house or whatever, wherever the fucking they keep the grow houses at. And of course, after this incident that happened the first time, shit just started happening. In the storage house that, I guess, they had the powdered fertilizer, the sack. I guess in that same hallway, everybody that's been in that hallway has seen at least once or twice the silhouette of what it looks like to be a woman. And also, here's the fucking kicker. One, I guess around this time, I guess their harvest time happened. All of them were gathered in that same storage house to trim, you know, manicure their buds. And all of them heard the same thing. Miguelito. Adios, Miguelito. That is fucking crazy. So it would have been different if maybe it would have been one person experiencing it. But the whole fuck, collectively, all of them were there. And they experienced this whole thing. Now, I want to give a shout out to Mike and Danny and the whole crew over there at the spot. Also, check this shit out. I didn't want to tell you in the email that I sent you back, but wanted to do it here. So if you want to relay a message to old boy Mike, I researched the symbol, and it took me fucking like an hour or two to fucking at least find something that may have sounded close to it. All right, so there is something called the Solomonic Triangle of Evocation. Yeah, and there's a practice or a system called Goetia, and it's of the Lesser Key of Solomon. Now, just stay with me here. Lesser Key of Solomon is also known as the Clavicula Salomonis Regis or the Lemegeton, is an anonymous grimoire on demonology. Yes. Now, it's not just about calling demons. You invoke angels and demons. But what it says, I had already thought it, is that it's not for everybody, and it's definitely not for the uninitiated. So it's divided into a $5. The Ars Goetia, Ars Theurgia Goetia, Ars Paulina, Ars Almadel, and Ars Notoria. Holy fuck. My boy, what was your grandma into, my boy? For real. That's some fucking crazy shit. Not only that's some crazy shit, but that's some deep level fucking super advanced conjuring summoning fucking bullshit right there. That is fucking nuts, my boy. Really. And I say that, my boy, in the best respects, because holy shit, man. So here's the crazy thing about it, is that all these things started to happen, and old boy's like, fuck. I mean, I fucked up. And he took the amulet back, or necklace back. I think they had one event after that, and after that, it has not happened. Old boy Danny had a priest bless the area. So, hopefully that fixes the fucking issue. Really, this has been fucking quite an experience. Amazing. Thank you for you know, sending in that story. That shit is fucking nuts. And of course, I'm gonna fucking, because you're sending it in, I'm not gonna fucking doubt this shit. Really, real talk. So just remember, fucking y'all know, don't go fucking with shit that's really not fucking supposed to be touched. Y'all know what it is. Some of us have family members, friends that, you know, dwell into this shit, you know, dive into it fucking head first. So y'all know, don't go fucking playing the Ouija board. Don't go fucking around. Don't go invoking any shit, and don't fucking poke the bear, real talk, for real, man, for real. All right, so again, I want to thank Mike, Danny. I'm sorry, I don't remember everybody's names and shit. Mike and Danny, the whole crew at the spot. You know what? I'm going to try to get you a new mug, man. Straight up, I'm going to try to get you a new mug. As soon as merch comes out, I'll go ahead and send you a couple shirts and shit just to see, just to thank you and for my appreciation of popping my story cherry. Oh my god. So yeah. Alright guys, I'm signing off. I really hope that you guys are in good health. Again, if you're not, good vibes to you, positive vibes to you, love all you, whoever listen to my podcast just for at least fucking 10-20 minutes, thank you, really appreciate that. And if you want to go ahead and recommend it, please do so. Please go ahead and hit me up almost any social media outlet. I'm on, I'm on Facebook. Hit me up on Instagram. Hit me up in my email. CannibalBluntReport@gmail.com. Cannibal, CannibalBowl. BluntReport@gmail.com. Hit me up on my Instagram at the Blunt Report. Hit me up there and shit. So please, please, please keep them coming, y'all. For real. We're still going to have more Halloween shit coming up. Next episode is going to drop in about a week. I'm already fucking prepping and recording that motherfucker. So again, love each other. Treat each other right. Be nice to somebody. Karma comes back. Garen fucking teed. So I'm signing off with this fucking bowl. Cannibal, the cannabis animal. Back at it again. Outies. Oh, golly, bro. Holy fuck. Hasta luego, cabrones. Peace out. Shit. Fucking crazy.